This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Many would be surprised to learn how much political influence the Roman Catholic Church has been having in the world, and how much more political influence it will have pretty soon. The question is that going to be a good or a bad phenomenon? We should not forget that it was largely due to the influence of the late Polish Pope that the Iron Curtain fell. It is due to the influence of the Vatican State and the Roman Catholic Church that we even have a unification of Europe. They all have strongly supported it, all the while encouraging the politicians to remember their Christian roots. We have a strong influence of the Catholic Church, especially in Europe, to uphold Sunday laws so that you cannot work on Sunday. We should not forget that, according to press releases, the current Pope was highly influential in bringing about a quote-unquote collaboration between Cuba and the United States of America. And of course, there are many secret meetings between the Pope and governmental officials from all walks of life, whether Christian or Jewish or Muslim or no religion, Buddhists, meeting with him secretly, and things are being discussed you and I may never hear about. We should not forget that the Vatican State is a state. It is a country. It is the smallest country in the world, but it has ambassadors, which it sends all around the world. It has, as I will show you right now, other political means of conducting business. The Pope is not just a religious figure. The Pope is also a political figure, something we must not forget. You've heard about the Swiss Guards. It's a relic from the past when the Pope had his own army, using it to prosecute and to persecute those religious minorities which didn't agree with the Roman Catholic teaching. Deutsche Welle reported on June 15 that former Archbishop Josef Wieselowski is to stand trial on accusations of paying for sex with minors and possessing child pornography. The case is the first of its kind in the Vatican, so the Vatican is going to try him criminally in the Vatican State. The former clergyman was defrocked by a Vatican tribunal. He was convicted last year. The Pope then ordered a criminal investigation. If convicted, he would most probably not spend time in the Vatican's prisons. There's a chance the accused would be sent to Italy, which, according to an agreement with the Vatican, houses the Holy City's prisoners. So you can already see from that standpoint that the Vatican State is a state with a criminal system, with prisons. Of course, it's also one of the richest states in the world. Of course, this week, the Pope's new document, the encyclical, was leaked to the public, and of course that angered the Vatican quite a bit. But the Independent wrote on June 15 that the Pope warned that the world is heading for unprecedented destruction unless mankind confronts climate change and reforms the way it treats the planet, as the most eagerly anticipated papal document in living memory was leaked. The Pope paints an apocalyptic picture in which the world's poorest are the biggest victims of a web of environmental, human, financial, and ethical degradation that puts the entire planet at risk. It also goes on to say that the Vatican reacted with fury to the leak on Monday night, accusing the magazine responsible of an act of sabotage. It says actually it was a heinous act that amounted to sabotage against the Pope. Now, let me just interject, even though this wasn't the final document, I wonder where the sabotage on the Pope and the heinous act is coming from. Unless the Vatican is saying that they are going to totally redraft what the Pope has written, which I kind of doubt, because they are going to release it on Thursday, it says. The Pope also is withering about the financial system. The economic powers shall continue to justify the current world system, he says, indicating that he wants to have a different world system. The Pope is very critical of anybody who stands in the way of tackling the problem of global warming, whether they are merely indifferent or actively skeptical. The letter to the world's 1.2 billion Catholics is aimed at influencing the debate ahead of crucial United Nations talks in Paris in December, at which world leaders have pledged to agree on decisive action to curb global warming. You might have a position on global warming, pro or con. The point is the Pope is trying to influence political decisions quite heavily. The New York Times continued to write on June 15 that Francis pointedly disputes the idea that population control and contraceptions are solutions to the planet's limited resources. So if you have thought that maybe he's taking a more liberal stance on contraception, you are mistaken. The Guardian wrote on June 16 that Francis called for a new global political authority tasked with tackling the reduction of pollution and the development of poor countries and regions. His appeal echoed that of his predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, who in a 2009 encyclical proposed a kind of super UN to deal with the world's economic problems and injustices. The Pope also made clear in his paper that this one is directed to everyone, not just to Catholics, regardless of religion. So it couldn't have been a more pointed statement as to how much political influence the Pope wants to exert. Francis is likely to want to influence Republicans in Washington with his remarks. Most Republicans on Capitol Hill deny climate change is a man-made phenomenon and have staunchly opposed regulatory efforts by the Obama administration. The encyclical will make for awkward reading among some Catholic Republicans. While many Republicans have praised the Pope, it will not be unprecedented for them to make a public break with the pontiff on the issue of global warming. But nevertheless, we see how much the Catholic Church, the Pope, want to make political statements, want to influence political officials. Now, there's a reason why we do have separation of church and state in this country. You don't have the same kind of separation, let's say, in Western Europe, where the Catholic Church is exerting a tremendous amount of influence on daily life over there. And the Bible tells us that things will get much more drastic, much more all-encompassing. Now, in the past, we have to say that the Catholic Church has always collaborated with governmental officials, with governments. Many times it has influenced them to do the Church's bidding, but the results have much more often than not been very bad, very devastating. And as I said, the Bible tells you that ultimately the Roman Catholic Church will have tremendous influence, especially in Western Europe, but also around the world, on world affairs, including the quote-unquote right kind of religion, with devastating consequences. Now, if you want to believe the Bible, you have to believe that it's going to be a devastating situation, which is going to occur in the not-too-distant future. We have prepared a free booklet. It's said in the Bible, the mysteries of the book of Revelation. This booklet goes into the biblical prophecies in much detail. And it will show you from the pages of the Bible, from the pages of history, and also insofar as prophecy is concerned, why the political influence of religion, and especially the Roman Catholic Church, is not something which God likes to see. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.